Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and we're continuing to talk about the inyan of Zugois, and the inyan of Ruchois, Ra'ois, and the inyan of the Shindalids, and the inyan of the evil demons, and of the Kishif, as we'll see. We're starting on the final line of Kuf Yud Amid Beis.
Kishif is magic?
Kishif is black magic, sorcery. The Pasuk says, Mechashefa is, in Yiddish, Mechashefa means any difficult woman. But in Hebrew, Mechashefa means a witch. W-I-T-C-H. I wouldn't say that, but we won't get into that. That's a discussion at another time, in another place. Exactly. Amar Yudah Mishmuel. Final line of the Amid. Kol hamozug mitstaref chutz min hamayim. You recall at the very end of yesterday's blot, we spoke about when we are being mitztaref, two drinks together, or when we are trying to go and do a remedy of having a third drink, do they have to be of the same min? So we spoke about, for instance, if you had two drinks of wine, you want to be mitztaref, one drink of beer, or two drinks of beer and you want to add one of wine. Would that third one neutralize the possible negative effects of the zugais? That was a discussion we had towards the end of the blot. Now our Gemara tells us in the name of Yudah Mishmuel that anything which is mozug, anything which is diluted, automatically is mitztaref. Which means, for instance, if you had wine that you diluted by adding water, and if you had beer, which you diluted by adding water, they are now considered to be the same min, because both of them are drinks which are diluted. And therefore, if you have one of diluted wine and one of diluted beer, the two are mitztaref for zugais. Therefore, be very careful, because you never know, your head might turn backwards, like you had in the times of Rabba Bar Nachmeni. On the other hand, if you had two diluted wines and one diluted beer, then that diluted beer would hopefully undermine the negative effects of the zugais, and therefore it wouldn't be 2 plus 1, but it would be 3, and therefore you wouldn't have a problem.
So the common denominator is that they were diluted, not the water.
So look,
you could dilute beer.
Do me a favor. Let's look at the last Rashi. Kol hamozug, last line of the Rishbam, all the way in the bottom of the Yomid. No, all the way in the bottom. All the way in the bottom, right before the white stuff. Kol hamozug. Yeah, got that? Im shosa yayin mozug. Here, he took wine which was diluted. V'yachach shosa mashke mozug. And now he drank another beverage, which was also diluted. Not wine, but also diluted. Hamozug mitztaref bein l'ro'a bein l'toiva. The fact that they both happen to be mozug, they're now the same min, the same species, and they are mitztaref both for bad and for good. The kiven de travaya mezuginu, because since both of them are diluted, kemin echad chashivi, they're considered to be like the same brand, the same species. So even though this is wine, and you're going to make a bayim priyagofen, and this is beer, and you're going to make a shahakot, nevertheless, since both of them are mozug, mitstarfi, they are mitstarf. And therefore, if you have one of wine, one of beer, both are diluted, oh, I got a zugais problem.
Same, if I have the same.
It's the same species. On the other hand, if I have two of wine and one of beer, or two of beer and one of wine, and each one of them is mozug, each one is diluted, they're considered to be one min, and they are mitztaref l'toiva, to go and negate the negative effects of the zugais.
Does it change the quality of the bracha?
No. The wine will remain a Beir Prigofen, and the beer will remain a Shahakal.
No matter what they're diluted with.
Now you're going into beyond four corners of our Gemara.
Grace versus hops. Right?
And it also depends on what the amount is. If you're going to go and take a drop of wine and you're going to add to it a barrel of water, it's not going to be a Beir Prigofen. We're talking about if you have the normal dilution quantities, and you have this one, meaning the wine diluted with water, and you have the beer diluted with water, they're considered to be the same min, and they are mitztaref. Chutz, top of kufir aleph omid aleph, chutz min hamayim. If water is diluted with water, then that is not considered to be the same min. What does that mean, water diluted with water? What happens if you have cold water and you pour in hot water to warm it up? Or the other way around, if you start with hot water and you pour in cold water to cool it off. So that's also mozik. I went and I diluted the water. And the answer is, come on, that's not dilution, that's just water. And therefore, that would not be mitzdarif. If you look at the first Rejbam on the bottom, chutz mikuriri b'chamimi, v'chamimi b'kuriri. If you pour in cold into hot or hot into cold, come on, that's not mozik, that's not diluting. That's warming up or cooling off, but that's not dilution. The min b'minenu, it's still the same min. Mali kriri, mali chamimi. Mikol mokim, min echad hu, v'shem echad hu. V'im shasa b'tchila yayin mozik. So what happens if he drank first diluted wine, and now he takes a cup of diluted water, hot water and cold water and hot water. Come on. Ain't el mitztarfis, like that's not called dilution. And therefore says Reb Yehuda Mishmuel, that number two will not be mitztarif to number one. Rabbi Yochanan respectfully disagrees. Afilu mayim, even mayim, the same halacha applies if it's diluted, hot into cold, cold into hot. That's also called mazuk, and therefore it's mitzdaref both litoiva ulira'a. If you had one cup of wine which diluted, and you have one cup of diluted water, two are mitzdaref, it's zugais. If you have two of wine and then one of water, then it would be okay, again, if the water was diluted.
So one cup of hot water and one cup of hot water combines to make
Water and cold water. Hot water and cold water.
My question was one that's cold, one that's hot, yeah. And you happen to get one after the other, that constitutes a pair, right?
Now you're talking about something else.
Oh, okay.
Our Gemara is now telling us the din of dilution. That any beverage which is diluted, according to Yehuda Mishmuel, it becomes a blood brother of another diluted beverage. So even though the two beverages are totally different, this is wine and this is beer, if they happen to be diluted, they are mitzdarf. So far, so good. Then the Gemara said, what about if I'm going to go and take a second cup of diluted water? Will that be mitzdarf? In other words, I had diluted wine, that was my first cup. I took diluted water, my second cup. Is that now deemed to be zugais? So Rabbi Yehuda B'Shmuel says, no. Rabbi Yochanan says, yes. But in Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, omra papa le'amarn elechamimi legav kriri, ukriri legav chamimi, when is it considered to be diluted when you in fact made a change in the water by the dilution, that you started off with cold and you warmed it up, or you started with warm and you cooled it off. Aval chamimi legoi chamimi, ukriri legoi kriri, what happens if you went and poured hot water into hot water, cold water into cold water? Why should I go and pour hot water into hot water, cold water into cold water? Simply you had two half bottles or something like that. You wanted to combine the two, right? Yeah, you do that frequently, things like that. So you go and pour cold water into cold water. Oh, it's diluted water. Now that's not diluted water. That's an ishka dilution. And therefore it's not mitzdarah for purposes of establishing or negating the zugois that was started off, for instance, with wine or beer or something. Okay, so that's the end of the zugois for the time being. Someone who does one of the following four things, chas v'sholem, he's taking his life into his own hands. The reason why the Gemara uses the expression domay beroishoy, because that's a pasuk in Yeshua, in Kapitel Beis, if you want to look it up, it's Kapitel Beis, I believe it's pasuk Yutes, and there the Gemara, the pasuk talks about domay beroishoy, which means that if a person, chas v'sholem, afterwards gets sick, or there's a hezek, or whatever, he was self-induced. Nobody else did it, he did it to himself. That's the lashon of dom beroishoy. Now, when it says arba dvarim, the Rishbam says these four, mishum ruach ro'a. By doing one of these four things, there's a ruach ro'a, such an evil type of spirit that comes over. What's the difference between ruach ro'a, a shindalid, and kishif and all that? I don't know. That's beyond my pay grade. The former president said that. Beyond my pay grade, chmeisish. But lemaisa, it's not a good thing. What are those four things? Elohim. Hanifna bein dekel lekoisel. A person who went to relieve himself, and instead of going into the outhouse or into the facilities, he did it between a dekel, a palm tree, and the wall. We'll see in a moment what that means. Va'oiv bein shnei dekel, a person who's walking in between two palm trees. We'll see what that means. Vashu isa maim shulam, someone who is drinking borrowed water. We'll see what that means. Va'oiver al maim shvucham, a person who went and walked over, passed over water that poured out on the ground. Even if it was his own wife that accidentally poured some water on the floor, he walked over it. Chas v'sholem, that could be a ruach ra. And the Gemara is going to explain now each one of the four. So we start again. Ha'nifna ben deka l'koysel, a person who relieves himself between a palm tree and the wall. Loi amoran el deles lei arba amas, if the space between the dekel and the koysel is less than 4 amas. Aval isli arba amas, if there's more than 4 amas, if there's 4 amas or more, less lon bo, it's not a problem. What difference does it make? Your 4 amas, nish 4 amas. So Rishbam explains over here, as well as a little bit further in the next few cases, that typically the mazikim, or the shindalids, these evil demons, they tried not to go and compete with human beings, especially during the day, especially out in the open, because they're kind of a little bit afraid. Therefore, it says in Chazal that if you're at night, you should go with a second person, because you're walking out in the field or something where there are prevalent these ruches rois, these mazik, they don't like starting up with two people. And if they feel very, very much invigorated and emboldened, then go 3 people together and they won't start up. Okay, so what happens is you have now a public thoroughfare like a street, West End Avenue, Broadway, Main Street, whatever. And people are going back and forth, walking, they're going in their carriages, they're going in cars, what have you. Normally the mazikim do not walk or do not travel in the main road, except for those that cause the traffic accidents. But we're talking about these spiritual mazikim, we're not talking about human mazikim. So where do these spiritual mazikim go, these evil demons? They go on the side of the road. They don't start up with everyone, you know, especially during the day. So they go on the side of the road. Now, if you were to go and put a detour on the side of the road where they can no longer travel over there, they get very upset. That's my right of way, and you're taking it away. So they get upset about that. So if you have a deka l'koysel, the koysel being the koysel that ends the Rishus Rabim, that's the barrier where the public thoroughfare has ended, and right next to there's a dekel. So normally between that dekel and that koisel, that's where the shindalids, where the evil demons are going to walk and travel. If you're however going to go and put a stopper there by using that limited area, then the shindalid says, how am I going to go through? And therefore that's why a ruach ra comes, and chas v'sholem, he may cause trouble. However, if there is a lot of space between the dekel and the koisel, at least 4 amas, so the shindalid's got plenty of room to walk, you're not going and holding him back, you're not causing trouble for him. So that's why the Gemara says, you don't have to worry because you're giving him enough room to pass through, to pass by.
You're not crowding his space.
You're not encroaching on his space. Oh. We're talking about the demons, right? Okay. You're not encroaching on the demon space. Exactly right. And even when we say that there's less than 4 amas, where then it does become dangerous because you're encroaching on his space, that there is no other path for this shindalid, for this evil demon to walk on. If he has across the street on the other side, or he doesn't have to go Main Street, let him go on the next avenue. And there's plenty of room over there, less than bar, then this does not apply. It's only if you are really encroaching on the space and he has no other way of traveling. So that was the first of the four. Now we're on to number two. A person who's traveling between, who's walking between two trees, especially palm trees. That's dafka if the two are relatively close to one another, that you do not have a Rishus Rabim, you don't have a public thoroughfare going between the two palm trees. In other words, for those of you that have ever been to Miami, and those of you that have not been to Miami, you'll note that on many, many streets, you have palm trees on both sides of the street, and sometimes can be very picturesque. So you have a palm tree here and a palm tree over there, and in between the two, you got 10 feet, 20 feet, 50 feet of cars going back and forth, people walking back and forth. Then there's no problem. Then you can be over Shnei Tekolim. That doesn't interfere with the Shindalit because there's plenty of room. However, if you're talking about the Loi Paskin Rishus Rabim, these two are both on the side next to each other, and you don't have a public thoroughfare in between. So the same problem as before, that if you're going to walk in between those two tekalim, that might be the resting place, or that might be the traveling place of the shindalids, of the evil demons, and they're saying, hey, mister, you're encroaching on our space. That's where we reside. That's where we rest. That's where we walk. Don't go here. You're causing us tzaddis. So that's why you have to be careful. Only the paskinu rishus ram, that there is no public thoroughfare. A paskinu rishus ram, listen, but then there's no problem. This is number three. If you go and drink borrowed water, le'amorin elad shailinu katan, a child went and requested and borrowed that water. But if it's a godl, then you don't have to worry. What does this mean, that a child took it or an adult took it? These shindalas, these evil demons, by definition, are usually pretty chicken. They're pretty weak. Yes, unfortunately, if you step on their toes, boy, will they chas v'shalom cause a hezek. However, normally they don't like to go and start up with mighty. They don't start up with oyd melech haboshim. They try to start up with the weaklings in society. So if you have a cotton that borrowed some water, then the mazik says, oh, this is a good place. Let me go and be shoda. Let me put my spell on that water. I want to drink from that water. I want to reside on that water. And therefore, he's going to go and start up with the water that was borrowed by a child. Avogadol, but if you're talking about water that was borrowed by an adult, less than by the nation, Dalit says, I'll get water somewhere else. I'll find another source for water if I want. If I'm thirsty, yeah, I'll get somewhere else. I'm not going to start up with the gadol. I'll start up with the cotton. And even if it's borrowed by a child, the problem is only namli amoran ele besada, that the child is holding on to this borrowed water out in the field, to leshchichi, because they themselves, these evil demons, they themselves want to drink. And out in the field, you don't have faucets everywhere, and you don't have wells everywhere, and it's going to be difficult to find water. Oh, they find a young child of 8 years old having water. I'm going to take some of his water. So that's why, chas v'shalom, there's a ruach ra. Stay away from that water. Don't drink from it. Al-Be'ir, if it's in the city, the shchichi, there's plenty of water in the city. After all, the wells all over, and there are canals and irrigation ditches. And worst comes to worst, you can always go in the store and buy a bottle of water for $5, especially if it's Polish water, or Hungarian water, whatever, Polish spring. Al-Be'ir, the shchichi, there's plenty of water. Lesson, but you don't have to worry about it, because the shindalids, the evil demons, have plenty of access and plenty of supply. Even out in the field, it's only sid alamai if you're talking about water. Because even the mazikim, even these evil demons, they need water to survive. But they're not interested in wine and beer. They're not drinkers, apparently. You very rarely go and find a evil demon that got shikr. Exactly. You don't find them. You find drunk human beings, but not the evil demons. And therefore, that is not a problem. If the cotton, I don't know why, but the cotton was borrowing the chamer of shechar. Guess he needed it to make kiddush or something, or make avdolah. So that's why he had to borrow the chamer of shechar. That is not a problem. The only problem will be if he went and borrowed water and he's standing out in the field and the mazikim, these evil demons, don't have water. And chas v'shalom, they may go and drink from the water, and not only be pogim the water, they will leave a ruach ra on the water. And therefore, stay away from it. If you drank from this water, chas v'shalom, the Gemara tells us that was a nafshei domoy b'roshei. And finally, number four. Va'over al mayim shvuchim, person who passes over spilled water, also chas v'shalom, there could be a ruach ra which attaches to it. That's dafka if he didn't go and cover over the spilled water with offer. In other words, just like today, if something spills on the ground, what would you do? Today we have paper towels, or you have regular towels. The way they would go and soak up extra water or liquid that spilled, they would put afra on it. They would go and put on some earth, and the earth would go and absorb all that water that spilled. So we're only talking about the loyaf sekinu ba'afra. You didn't go and do a cover up with earth. As well as that you didn't spit into those mayim shvuchim, into the waters that spilled on the ground. But if you did one of the two, Aval afsekinu be afra, either you put afra on it, or you tough bu roika, or you spit on it, less than ba, then apparently the mazikim don't get close, the evil demons stay away. The reason why they stay away, if afsinu be afra, because there's no water for them to go and cast their evil spell on, because they cannot cast a spell on the spill, because the spill is now covered over with afra, which is now absorbing all of that spilled water. And presumably, if one spits in it, they don't like the spittle and they stay away. So less than boy, you don't have to worry. V'loy amar an elderly over alayu shimsha, v'loy over alayu shitin nigri. This is only if this was not out in the open, so that you didn't have the benefit of sunshine shining on this spilled water. V'loy over alayu shitin nigri, and you didn't have 60 footsteps. In other words, a lot of traffic walking over this water. It's a public puddle. Right? It rained, there's a big puddle. 60 nigri, that there are 60 people that traversed it, that's fine, traveled over it. Now, over Layu Shimsha, if however was out in the open, so there was sun that was beating down, shining down on this puddle, on this spilled water, or over Layu Shita Nigri, 60 people passed over it, less than one, then you don't have to worry. Presumably the reason for either the two, when it comes to the Shimsha, again, the Mazikim don't like to be seen, they like to work at night, just like burglars, they try to go and hide in the shadows, in the shade. They're not interested in being out there in the open because, by definition, they are cowards. They were chicken. That's why they don't start up with adults, they start up with children. Only if you encroach on their space, then they start up with you. So here in the Shimsha, where there's plenty of light, they don't like to be out in the light. So you don't have to worry. As well as Shita Nigri, if there's 60 people that went over that spilled water, that means that there's a lot of traffic. They're not interested in a lot of traffic. They're interested in starting up with some weakling somewhere in the forest where nobody's looking. The word shitin, of course, 60 is always a potential guzma. Very often you see the term 60 when it means a large number. Lav davka 60, there might only have been 59, only 58. But that's an exaggeration the Gemara uses from time to time. That is, if the person is not riding on a donkey, and he didn't put on shoes. If he is riding on a donkey, or he's wearing shoes, less lumber, you don't have to worry. In other words, when is it a problem if you pass over water, which you're afraid that chas v'sholem, the evil demons may cast an evil spell on it? That's if you're walking in the water and you're walking without shoes. But if you're walking by riding on a chamar, on a donkey, or you're wearing shoes, also not an issue. That's dafk in a place where you don't have to worry about kishif. What the Gemara is telling us is, like we had already yesterday, there are two levels. You have the level of the evil demons, otherwise known as the shindalids, that go and cause their tzuris. But even if it's a place that you don't have to worry about the shindalas, you have to worry about kishif. Kishif again means the machshefois, those that the witches that go and cause an evil spell. These people are engaged in black magic and in sorcery. So these, that you do have to worry. So we had that yesterday where the Gemara said that why did Rava have to have both the Eitzah by Pesach, the fact that you have arba koisis, because the third one is a koishu bracha. And at the same time, he said, because of the first pasuk of the three brachas of Birchas Kehanim, Yivrechachem Yishmarecha. So Rishbam said yesterday, what do I need both answers for? Rava gave both answers. So remember, the Rishbam said, because even in those places, we don't have to worry about the mazikim, the shindalids, but you do have to worry about kishif in a place where it's Motsui Kashvaniyos, where you have, in fact, these sorceresses. However, if you don't have them, you don't have to worry. So that's what the Gemara is saying, is that by the spilled water that you have here on the ground, if you don't have to worry about Noshim Kashvaniyos, this is Baruch Hashem, a place where you don't have these type of witches, sorceresses. If, however, there are such women, and women love dafka, the same thing applies to men, it's just that it's more prevalent among women. Even if you're riding on the back of a donkey, and even if you're wearing your shoes, and even if there's a shemesh, and even if there is shita nigri, chayshin, you have to worry about, unfortunately, these machshefis that they did their thing. Says Yimar, kihahu, not vihahu, kihahu, like the case of Gavra, this person, the Roch of Chamra, that he was riding on a donkey, and the Sia Mesane, and he was wearing shoes, the Gomud Mesane, the Tzavu Kare. And unfortunately, he did go over this water, and what happened as a result of walking over the spilled water, Gomud Mesane, which means that his shoes shrunk, Vitzovukare, and unfortunately his legs shriveled, his legs dried out. So therefore, why did that happen? Because don't start up with evil demons. You gotta be careful. Now, nowadays they say that there's less of a concern.
This was Kishuv, this wasn't the Shindal.
Oh, okay, this is the Kishuv. Kishuv, this is the sorcery. So, hopefully there's not a lot of sorcery, certainly not in our areas, and so hopefully there's no such issue. I've mentioned Dr. Manfred Lehman in the past. Dr. Manfred Lehman, Zecharo Levracha, was an outstanding individual, big Talmud Chacham, very great philanthropist, etc. He traveled to Africa many, many times. And I was in his home many times. He had a home in one of the five towns of Lawrence, Cedarhurst, and in his home, there was an interesting collection of some things sticking out of the wall. What were those things? They looked similar to grotesque Purim masks, but they were not masks, but they were in fact hard, not just, you know, made out of material or made out of
wood.
Maybe made out of wood, could be, exactly. And they were
gargoyle.
I'm sorry?
Gargoyle.
Dark oil?
Gargoyle.
Okay, gargoyles. Whatever, gargoyle.
Gargoyle is made out of stone that are on buildings.
Right.
Those aren't masks.
Right. Anyway, what I was told, I asked, you know, what are these things? And they said that these are what either the real McCoy or replicas of what the natives in Africa used when they were dancing around and making their all types of, I don't know,
incantations
with incense and whatever, hoodoo voodoo. That's what they would wear, and those were, they looked terrible. Though at least I wouldn't say terrible; they were very frightening. The first time you looked at it,
grotesque,
exactly. So that's okay, you know, fine. He had a collection of those, and it looked interesting, and fine. Years later, there was I always call him the mezuzah rabbi. There was a Kabbalist that came from Eretz Yisrael, and that he had a special chush, a special kishrein, that he could go and read mezuzos and tell you things about your own private life.
I've heard about this.
And Dr. Lehman was interested in seeing him, so he brought his mezuzahs along from his home, and as soon as this Kabbalist opened up the mezuzah, he said, "The only reason why you and your family are still alive is because you give so much tzedakah. Because otherwise I see in your mezuzahs that there are ruchos ro'os in your home."
Wow.
He said, you should try to get those ruchos ro'os out, because chas v'sholem, it's a sakana. Baruch Hashem, until now you've given tzedakah. Tzedakah tatzel mimaves, but you should know the ruchos ro'os. Anyway, that was the story. Dr. Lehman afterwards said to people, you know, this Kabbalist, he happens to be a Svardi, maybe a Taimana or a Moroccan, and they have a real deep belief in all these evil spirits. You know, we're kind of, I'm a modern German guy. Anyway, P.S., about a year or 2 years later, Nebuch, his eldest son, Jamie Nebuch, passed away. So, anyway, I can't say that it's directly related, but you get the sense that even today, there are ruchos ro'os. Baruch Hashem, you don't have a lot of witchcraft, to my knowledge, here in the so-called modern America. But in places in Africa where they still do the hoodoo voodoo, this is a concern, and they're ruchos ro'os.
Anyway, doesn't have to be witchcraft in order for these things to happen. If the bad spirits are in, then...
Yeah, but you see that there is this inyan of evil demons and spirits, and when you shouldn't, you know, discount it. And when you hear about a haunted house, haunted house, this is just a thing for the comics and for the comedies and for, you know, scary books. There are haunted houses. There are possibilities that there are mazikim out in a rural area where nobody else is living, and this is their abode. Don't move in because you are encroaching on their space. Okay. Let's continue on to another one. You were about Shloisha Ein Mematzin V'Loi Mismatzin. Three, you should be very careful. Don't let them pass between you, and you don't pass between them. V'Elehen, the following, what are those three? Hakelev V'Hadekel V'Isha. Not a kelev, a dog, a dekel, a tree, and a isha, a woman. Especially when it comes to a woman, there are many, many people that are even makbid bizman hazeh. Not if you have two men that are walking, they will not allow a woman to walk between them, or vice versa. If you have two women, you don't have a man passing through. So you'll see very often people that are nizor on this Gemara, yeah, when two women are talking to one another, in a hall, in the street, or whatever, that men will not walk between them, but they will go around on the side, not to walk in between.
It's only if they're not their daughters or something.
Mishpacha probably this doesn't apply to. I assume you're right. But
well,
again,
the tendency is to walk far away from women anyway.
That's a separate story. Yeah, that's a separate story. Yeah, okay, we're talking about even those that are not so makbid in that respect, but nevertheless a makbid because of this gemara. Yeah. Okay. The Yesh Oimim Af Achazer, the same thing applies to a chazer. Stay away, don't have a chazer going between, and don't go between two chazer. We're not. That's why it is Yesh Oimim in between. Yesh Oimim Af Anachashon. Exactly. And it could be afanochesh, the same thing applies to a snake. Stay away from snakes, don't let them go between you, and don't go between snakes. V'imematzim ma'itakandu, what happens if you do go in between any one of these, and now you're worried, what's going to happen? Omra papa, niftach bekel, v'nafsik bekel. You have to go and say two psukim in the Torah. First one begins with a kel, and the second one ends with a kel. Now where are these two psukim? If you look on the fifth line, the fifth wide line of Rajbam, down below, niftach bekel v'nafsik bekel, kel moitzim mitzroyim, and then kilei nachash v'yakov ad mo po'al kel. So this is a pasuk in Parshas Balak, and this is talking about Bilam when he is saying some of his prophecies and stuff. So the two psukim over there, we'll just take a quick look, and we'll look it up in Perek Chav Gimel.
Is this really found in the Arshul Siddur, or is this something we got to look up in
the Siddur? You just look up the Gemara, you don't have to look up the Siddur.
Takanta means repair or heal?
I'm sorry, Nachum?
The word takanta.
Takanta is the remedy. The remedy.
Remedy.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. No problem. Kel Mitzim Mitzroyim. Okay, this is a pasuk in Balak. Kel Mitzim Mitzroyim. Kisiaf Yisra'im Loi. And then there's another pasuk says, Kilei Nachash B'Yakov, V'lay something B'Yisrael, Hashem Lekav Imoy, Yisruach Melech Boy, etc. Anyway, the status. Two psukim there. Okay. There it goes. Good. It's Perek Chav Gimel Pasik Chav Beis. Kel Moitzim Mitzrayim. We started with Kel. Because the Afis Re'im Loi. Next Pasik. Kelei Nachash B'Yakov Le'Kesem B'Yisrael. Ka'es Ye Omer Le'Yakov Le'Yisrael. Ma Po'al Kel. So since you started off with a Kel, and you ended off with a Kel, that is the remedy, Rabbi said, according to Rajbam. Then there's another remedy. What happens if you can't remember those two psukim? Inami niftach beloy v'nafsik beloy. You start off with a loy and you end off with a loy. Now where is this loy? So continue on the next Rajbam. Niftach beloy v'nasayim beloy. Loy ishkel v'chazev ad v'loy yikimena. So it starts off with a loy and ends off with a loy. And this is again in the same parasha, the same pasuk, not the same pasuk mamish. Loi, 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 ishkel v'chazev. I'm sorry, what were we saying?
It's in the notes here.
In the notes, okay. So they bring the whole pasuk in the notes? So what number does it say in the notes?
I'm going to give a translation.
Just want to give the translation. That's not good. Where's which note is it? Okay. Loi. 23:19. Okay. So it's a couple of psukim earlier. It's pasuk yutes. Thank you. Loi, ishkel v'chazev. This is perik chav gimel, pasuk yutes in Parshas Balak. Loi, ish, loi. Ish kel v'chazev uven adam v'yisnecham ha'hu amar v'lo yaseh v'diber v'lo yikimen. So it starts off with a loy and ends off with a loy. It's not mamish like the two kales, but the last word is taka kale. Here it's loy and then ends off the loy yikimena. So you say those two and those are a perfect remedy. That's how Rajbam learns. The toises here on the top brings Rabbeinu Chananel on the first narrow line. Rabbeinu Chananel pirish niftach bekel le'mahachi. And this is a not a posik, but this is really a tefillin. Kael elikim Hashem hatzileinu mikol ra, mikol nezek, asher biyadcha koyach ugvura, ki ato kael. So that is the short posik. Which one is easier to remember, the psukim or the tefillin? Anyway, so you say this, not a posik, you say this tefillin, and this will be a remedy. The niftach beloy, what is this? Loy techeini elikai, v'loy tazveini, shamreini ki ishoin bas oyin, terem ekra ta'aneini, v'al toimar loy. It's a very, very strong tefillah. You're saying to Rabbeinu Shalom the last three words, v'al toimar loy, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, Al tazveni, don't leave me alone. Shamreni, go and protect me. Kishim basoin, like the pupil of the eye. Terem ekri, even before I call out to you, taneni kodesh baruch hu, listen to me. Similar to the lashon in anenu that we say, tem yikre lech anenu. Va'al toimen loyin, kodesh baruch hu, don't say no to me. Ichveitach rabbi shalom, don't say no. You answer my tefillahs, this time say yes, don't say no. Anyway, so this is the second version. Rishbam said the psukim, and the Rabbeinu Chananel says the special tefillah. Thank you, Ed, for being here today. Without you, we'd still be lost. Continuing the mark, Hani Beitrei Demitzelahu Isha Nida. Two people, they were standing, they were talking, presumably, shmoozing and learning, or what have you. And Isha went, and Isha Nida, a woman that was menstruating, went through. If this is at the beginning of her period, the doesn't mean that she's going to kill somebody, but says the fact that she walked between them, that could bring upon them hezek. Now, if you look at the last toises, so we're going to learn the entire toises, not just part of the toises. Yesh v'farish. So in other words, not every single woman, it's got to be a machsheifa. Machsheifa means not only the Yiddish machsheifa, but it means machsheifa that she is a sorceress. So if she's walking through, she's a witch. At the same time, she also is a menstruating, then chas v'sholem, it could be a major hezek, could be trouble. In soif nidasi, what happens, she's already at the end of her cycle, then mariva oisameinem, what she can do as a result of her kishif is cause a quarrel between the two men that were previously having a very amicable relationship, and now they're going to go at each other with guns chalila, because they let this woman go through. So my time
during the shiva, you mean nida, so the first three and a half days,
and then the second and a half days. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know necessarily if it's divided in 7 days. It could be her particular period. In other words, that period she only had a 5 day period, so it could be two and a half. Okay. Anyway, the ikar is if you don't have women passing through, you don't have to worry. My takante, what is the takana? Same thing as before. Nifta pekel, menafsi pekel. Say the same two psukim or the tefillah. And I assume the same is the loy and the loy, but the Gemara doesn't break it. Next nickel. Hani trei nashi diyasim beparashas drachim. If you see two women that are both sitting there on two ends of a major thoroughfare, like two sides of Broadway. Both of them are sitting, one on the east side of Broadway, one on the west side of Broadway. And they are also staring at each other. One on this side of the road and the other on the other side of the road. You see how they're staring at each other. They are busy with kishif, and that's why they're winking and nodding and looking one another. Maita Kanti, what should you do? Oh boy. Alright, good. Maita Kanti, what's the takana? If you can go and leave Broadway and go to West End Avenue, that's the best. Leave Broadway, you see these two women there. Habek. The Elekah Dikachrinim, there's no other way to go. Iik inishachrinim bahadei ninkutu liyadai bahadiyadodi. When you should go and take somebody else together with you, hold on to his hand, v'nichlefo, go through. The reason for that is because the sakana is when a man goes between two women. If two men are going between two women, that means each man is going between a man and a woman. Because by definition, you see that sometimes again, people that are nizar about this, if there are two women standing there and there's no way of getting them to move away, let's say at a chasen or something, and a man wants to go into the hall and the two women from both sides, he goes and grabs hold of somebody else and holds their hand and they to hold the arm and then they go in together. No man, he should say the following lachash. Lachash is a fancy word for incantation. What does he say? Agras, azlas, asya, blusya. Those four words, says Rishbam, are names of shindalids, of evil demons. In fact, agras, the Gemara elsewhere brings agras bas mochlas. She was a well-known shindalid. So you say the names of these four shindalids, these four demons. And then you say, miskatla b'cheik kabel. Miskatla, they've already been killed. The word miskatla is from the word ketola. They're already killed. B'cheik kabel, says Rishbam, with arrows that were shot at them. So they're already dead meat, these four shindalas. By saying that, that negates and that remedies the chas v'sholem, the ruches rois, and the bad stuff. What happens if you meet a woman when she's leaving the mikveh? Ihu kodum umishamish achta lei lididei ruach sanunim. Ihi kodma umishamsha achada lo lidido ruach sanunim. What the Gemara is telling us is the fact that he has met this woman that is coming out from tefillah. We don't mean she could be fully dressed. We're not talking about that she's coming out of the water. But the point is, the fact that she is now looking forward to living with her husband the first time after a week or two or whatever, and he presumably realizing that that's what's going on. So a ruach zinus, an immoral type of spirit, will now hover over each one of them. And ihu kodem mishamish, if he, when he goes home, lives with his wife, if he happens to be first before she lives with her husband, this ruach zinus, chas v'shalom, hovers over this union, this mating. And if she goes home and she's meshamish first, then the ruach zinunim that goes over her. What should you do? Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking, I remember there was a Gemara somewhere. Yes. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan used to go and sit outside?
Sit outside mikvah and he right.
Oh, very good. But who asks this kasha about the Rabbi Yochanan and the Beis HaTfilah? Sorry?
I'm just stating the question.
It's a good question, right? Reb Simcha is here, and he was thinking of that question even before I mentioned it. It shows you, it must be a very good question. So the Maisa, who asked this question? So I have another question, and that is, Toysis asks this. Exactly. Toysis asks this question, but my question is, why is this Toysis out of place? Because this Toysis is on Kuf Yud Omid Aleph. Notice we're on Kuf Yud Aleph Omid Aleph, but go back one blot to Kuf Yud Omid Aleph. And look at the last toysis. Hi, man, the pogeb itza. Hi, by the mamation meso, Rabbi Yochanan, have a cause of Yosef Ashari Tzvila. Simcha, you remember this probably from last machs, right? From the Daf Kufyut.
Oh, sure.
Exactly. Anyway, Kufyut, just go one back, one blot, and the article is back 28 pages. Yeah. It's Amud Aleph, the final toysis on the Amud. It's a little bit longer than the person learned before. Rabbi Yochanan, for the Amud, Rabbi Yochanan, because of Yosef Ashari Tzvila, keech the Yaldon Zara Kavasei, so that they should have good children. Hocha the pogeb isha ulam in Hamayim. Rabbi Yochanan Shari Tvila. Here it's talking about when they're coming out, and here it's talking Shari Tvila. Two separate things. Yosef, he was sitting there Shari Tvila. In other words, after the whole thing is over. Inami Hosam Yosef Hochapoga.
He was sitting in front. You're saying Shari before they went in.
No, it's talking after.
After?
Yeah.
Rabbi Yochanan. Ashari Tvila Yasir.
Outdoors.
Yeah. Outdoors.
They
still met each other.
First of all, he's not going to be inside. It doesn't mean Sha'olim in mind because that wouldn't be
Tvila. No,
it
means has to.
So it means that she's
a person goes towards the river for Tashlich. Yeah. And it's at night. And you don't do Tashlich at night, you're right. Anyway, he's going for a stroll. A woman is coming out. She has the towels all over her. She's covered. But she's coming out of the water. And now he knows why she's coming out of the water. She's not going to the swimming at night. Oh, Tvila. So that says the Gemara, that's the Ruach Zinun.
Okay.
What Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, that he was sitting there half a block away, and when they would come out of the mikveh, fully dressed and going home, and then he met them and he saw them. Rabbi Yochanan, by the way, Rabbi Yochanan couldn't see them, because the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan in his later age, he had very, very heavy eyelids, and to go and open up his eyes, he needed a shamus to go and open up the eyelids. So Rabbi Yochanan didn't see them. They saw him. And the reason why Rabbi Yochanan sat there is so that they should be zocha, that they should have that image of Rabbi Yochanan in their mind, because Rabbi Yochanan was the tzaddik ador, the gadol ador, etc. Anyway, so that's why those two cases are different. Inami hosam Yosef hocha poga. And our Gemara says that he was poga beisha. In other words, they met on the street. They actually met each other. And he Yosef, he's just sitting there on the side. Inami Rabbi Yochanan said the following pasuk sheif buz, which is the next Gemara that we're going to learn now. So getting back to Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph.
So
there were three answers. You're not happy with any of the answers.
Why is it out of place?
He's a shabbos.
That's my question. His question was a question on the Gemara. My question is on the printer. Why did he go and put the toys out of place? Yes, sir.
If he says shabbos on the demon, that's right for him. Yeah. What about her?
Maybe he should also say that. I don't know.
That
I don't know. My Frank Diego, hand Frank the eyes in the cashes. My Dekanti says, Imor Lema Hochi, he should go and say, Shefa Buz on the Divim, Vyasim Besoyu Loi Dorach, and presumably she should say too. Or maybe if he says it, that's already enough for both of them. Amr Yitzhak might have said in the Pasik, Gam Kiela begins some of us like Ira Rocky Ati Modi. Very famous Pasik. Even the Goyim recite this Pasik in Mizmah LeDovid. What does it say? Ze Hayoshim Betzel Dekel Yechidi Ubetzel Levona. Period. A person who goes and lies down and rests, sleeps in the tzel of a dekalichidi, where there's only one palm tree, and he lies over there, or he lies in the tzel, the shadow of the levana. So the Rishbam quickly tells us, you don't lie in the shadow of the levana, because the levana gives light. How can you go and lie in the shade or the shadow of light? But it means that the levana is shining on a wall, and then you sleep or rest in the shade of that wall, where the levana is shining on. That is, unfortunately, Gate Salmavis. That Chas V'Shalom could be very dangerous. Why is that so dangerous? Says Rishbam, because that's where the Shindalids used to sleep. Many of them don't have fancy mansions. They only have a dekel or this wall, and that's where they sleep at night, like Havdo the homeless. So therefore, if you're going to go and sleep over there, you're encroaching on their space. And therefore, that's Chas V'Shalom, Gate Salmavis. Ubetzel dekel yechid lo yamor eldele nofel tula de chavrei ilaveh. That this dekel yechid is so on its own that the next dekel, which is a block away or a half a block away, when it's sunny, that the shade of that other tree doesn't reach this tree. If there's another tree which is not so far away, where at some period of time the shadow of the other tree will fall onto this tree, less lumba, then you don't have to worry, because presumably then the evil demon will just move over to the other tree. After all, okay, you want to sleep in this tree? Because I'm tired. I'll go over to the other guy. Elohadisan Yisrael Yomara Hayoshen Betzel Dekel Yichidi Bechotzer Vahayoshen Betzel Levana Domei Veroishoy. Heichi Domei, explain to me what is the case over there. Ilei Medol Yonafatul Adachavri Yalevei. If you're going to go and tell me that it's a Dekel Yichidi which is all on its own, that there's no other tree near it, so there's no other shadow of another tree. So Philip Sodanami, why does the Braiser refer to Hayoshen Betzel Dekel Yichidi Bechotzer? The same thing should apply even Besod, anywhere. Vosep Zechotzer. Elav Shema Minah Bechotzer Abagav De Nofel Tula De Chavrei Yilavei Shema Minah. That if you're talking about Nechotzer, explains Rishbam, Shehamokim Tzar, it's a relatively narrow space that you don't have much room to maneuver in. So therefore, even if you do have the Tula De Chavrei Yilavei, you do have the benefit of another tree, which its shadow is going onto this tree. Stay away, because there's not enough room for the mazikin to go and lie down, and therefore you're encroaching on their space. But if in the Sa'adah, okay, he'll move on to the next tree. He's got plenty of room. So, Shema Minah. Let me see the Rishbam, three lines from the bottom. The Chotzer, Shemokim Tzar, three lines from the bottom of the Yomid. That the space is very narrow. She'en lo derech lintos Yomid Ismail. V'shoira olu mazikos yichas v'shom. The mazik says, hey, what are you doing? You're taking away my resting place. So therefore, that's why but chotzer is a greater concern, I mean, than in a sudden. We're talking about the tzeil of the levana is only b'marova, only in the western side. Avu b'medin chasa, which is a reference to Mizrach, less lumbar. Now, what means the western side or the eastern side? So, if you look at the Rishbam all the way in the bottom, it says it depends on which part of the month. Two lines from the bottom. At the end of the month, that the levana, the moon, is shining on the eastern side. Then the tzeil, the shadow, hits the western side. Av mincha, that what? Hayne tchilas achodesh, beginning of the month. Shalavona zirachas b'marov. Then you have much more. The levana is on the western side. Boys tzeil of mizrach, you're going to shoych ve'etul koyz mitzad mizrach. Okay, so therefore there's a difference between the end of the month and the beginning of the month, whether you have to worry about these ruchois ro'ois. Before we continue on, since we mentioned this pasuk kam ki'el against some of us, I'll tell you a beautiful word. B'shem dehaydig originem. The Rishna Bizmanoi was considered to be a real, real great mensch, and there were misnagdim, like you have in every generation, and the misnagdim were very upset that the Rishna was gaining so much influence in the Jewish world, and unfortunately, some of them were malshin. They went to the local government, and they said that the Rishna, Heilig Rishna, wants to go and secede and make his own democratic republic, and he's going to be the king, and he's going to be in charge, and he's going to be... Okay, so because of this Narishkeit, the authorities went and arrested him, and he was put into jail. When he was in jail, he looked very depressed. And the Gentile warden passed by, and he said, Rabbi, I heard that you're a very great man, you're a man of belief and of faith. Don't you know this pasuk? And of course, he didn't quote it in Hebrew, he quoted it in Russian or Lithuanian or whatever the Ukrainian, whatever the language was. Kam ki eilach begeit some of us, even if I go through the shadow of death, the valley of death, I won't be afraid of Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're together with me. I never have to be afraid. Hashem, you're always with me wherever I go. So he said to the rabbi, Rabbi, God is here together with you in the prison. Why are you so depressed and so distressed? So the Rishna said to him, you're reading the pasuk incorrectly. The way you read the pasuk is the following. Gam ki eilach begeit some of us, even if I happen to be in the valley of death, even if I happen to be in this prison, loy ira, I'm not afraid. You know why I'm not afraid? Because Hashem Yisbarach is with me. Ra, what's bad? Shi'ati mari, that you have to be together with me, Rabbeinu Shalom, Shechinta Begalusa. It's bad enough that I happen to be in prison, but you have to be in prison too. That's what's distressing me, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be Nebuch here in prison together with me. So that's how he teaches the pasuk. Lo'ira, I'm not afraid. Rob, what's bothering me is ki'ati mani dash Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to sit in jail together with me. Bruchim to you. Anyway, on to the next week, Gemara on the Amid Beis. Hai man de mifni agir de dikta. Okay, so now Gemara is going to tell us about stumps of tree. Tree stumps. Tree stumps, as you all know, means that the part of the tree has been cut off or it's fallen off. So if you're mifni, if you go and utilize this stump of a tree as your bathroom, then what happens? Achad lo ledidei ruach palga. Then a ruach palga, chas v'sholom, is going to go and envelop this individual. Now, in the Hebrew, it doesn't say what palga is. You do have, however, the Rishbam says, mevarshin balaz. And then the art scroll has a taich. What is the taich for the palga? He says on the bottom. A spirit which causes... No, that's the first one. A spirit which causes paralysis. Okay, so palga means paralysis. A person who rests his head on a tree stump, then ruach tzroda chas v'sholom will go and take him. And the ruach tzroda, the art scroll says, means, or the Rishbam already says, tzroda ka'ev chatzi haroish. He gets this major, major migraine headache of some sort, and that's, therefore, don't do it. That's ruach tzroda. Hayman de pasi adikla, a person who went and walked over a dekel. In other words, it's a dekel lying on the floor. It either was cut or it blew down. You know, there was a heavy storm or something, and now it's on the floor. If you're passing over that dekel, a mikdal kotel, if the dekel was cut down as a result of by a hatchet, by an axe, then chotel chas v'sholom, this person may be killed. Iiakar, however, if it was uprooted as a result of natural causes, may ekramais and chas v'sholom, this person may chas v'sholom also pass away from natural causes. But hani mili delay manach kari ilave, that stuff, if you walked over it without putting your foot on the tree itself, av manach kari ilave, once you walked on it and you stepped on it, so then you've, in a sense, you've now dominated, you have dominion and control over this tree, less than but then this doesn't apply. There are five shades or five shadows that you have to be careful with. Tula didikla, yichida, like we had already in the Omid Aleph, because that's where the evil demons like to rest and sleep and you're encroaching on their space. Tula de kanda, the vus meint kanda, Shabam says, Shem Ilan, the name of a tree. This is a famous kanda tree. That's also a tree where they like to rest. Tula de parcha, the shade of the parcha. What is parcha? Says Rishbam, tzlaf. Tzlaf is a caper bush. That's also, I guess, where they like to rest. And tula de zardisa. Now you have zardisa shunbir, and that the art scroll says is the sorb tree, right? S-O-R-B. I don't know what a sorb is, but whatever it is a place that you don't want to be in the tail of that tree, because these are all dangerous. Now notice we started off chamisha tuli habadit, or five, and then we only enumerated four. Because there's tula de dikla, tula de kanda, tula de parcha, tula zardisa. So five doesn't equal four. So to remedy that question, we have two answers. Next to chamisha, you have an aleph. That's the Masoris Hashas, where he says, L'chayre tzarech le'mer abba. L'chayre, you shouldn't say five, you should say four. That's one easy pshat. Or you'll notice that there's an aleph in the brackets. The aleph in the brackets is none other than the Hedig of Vilna Goyen. And the Vilna Goyen says that you have to go and amend the Gemara slightly, take out the words Ikka di'amri, and continue on, Af tula di'arva. Same thing also applies to the shade, or the shadow, that is formed by an arva. Arva is a ship, Remember, you have in Masechtas Bava Basra, you have Hahu Arva, the Mincei Betray, that there was a Gansa Machloikas about the ship who it belongs to. Very fascinating sugya in Bava Basra. So Arva is a ship. And now, Ikadi Amri, others say not Arva, ship, but Tula Arvisa. Arvisa means an Arova tree, which is a weeping willow tree, like the weeping willows that we use on sukkahs together with the, as part of the Arva Minim. So those are the five. Kol Demilza, as a general rule, called the Nafish Anpei, if there are a lot of branches, Koshi Tule, then the shade is dangerous. It's very simple, because since it's a lot of shade, then the Shadim, the Shindalids, they like that place, and they sleep there, and they reside there, and they rest there, so don't disturb them. There's a lot of shadow over there as a result of a lot of branches. The Chol to Koshi Silui. Koshi Silui means, Rishbam says, if the wood of the tree is very hard, Ulta Koshi Tule. That's also dangerous. Stay away. The bar, except for, there's another tree which is called the Michroi Masa tree, that Afal Gav the Koshi Siluya, even though that is hard wood, like Koshi Tule, but there, the tzeil, the shadow of the shade of that tree is not difficult, it's not dangerous. The Omra La Shida Libra, we overheard a shindalid, an evil demon, saying to its son, to her son, Pirchi Nafshech Michroi Masa, stay away from the Michroi Masa tree. The article translates that as a service tree. I'm not sure what a service tree is, but the I guess you can look up exactly what a service tree is, just like look up, what's he doing that, look up what a sorb tree is. Anyway, the service tree is a tree that you don't have to be afraid of, because the evil demons say to their sons, stay away from these service trees. The Iuhu de Kotel Avuch, this tree killed your father. In other words, the original evil demon, the Kotel de Didei Lechas Hashem, is going to go and kill you as well. The mommy doesn't want to say to the son, Lididoch, because we don't want Al-Tiftach Pelasotin, we don't want to go and say something bad. So he says, he can go and cause someone else to die. But she's really telling her son, stay away from those trees. Since the evil demons stay away from them, so therefore we can go to them, you don't have to worry. Amar Ravashi, Chazin al-Ber Rav Kahana, the Parish Bikulutuli, he would be very scared of any tree. In other words, Rav Kahana wanted to be Machmir. Anytime he saw any type of shadow or shade, he stayed away from that. Because he said, maybe there is an evil demon that is residing underneath one of those trees, and Chas v'Shalom, it's dangerous. Okay, so now Gemara is going to tell us that there are three different names for these demons. Beparchi, if you have demons which are occupying or residing by a Beparchi tree. Beparchi tree, I think, is the Tzlaf tree we had before. Anyway, if they happen to be among those, Beparchi, yeah. Their name is Ruchi. You call them the Ruchi, evil demons. The Bezardisa, those that are in the Zarda trees, that's what we said before, I think it's a sorb tree. That's Shida. They are called the Shindalids. That's the name for these evil demons. The Beigri, and those that live on the Igri, Igris usually mean roofs. So if you have those types of evil demons that reside on the roofs of houses, they're called Rishvi. So you're saying to yourself, who cares? I don't want to have anything to do with any of them. The nafkamina would be, if you're writing out, you go to one of these Kabbalists that writes out one of these kameyas, so you want to know, do we want a kameya against the Ruchi, against the Shida, or against the Rishvi? So that's why you have to know what they are. Says Yimar, the Beparchi, those evil demons that reside on the Parchi trees, Beryesh Ein Lehem Einayim, these are Beryesh that do not have eyes. In other words, they're blind. To go and run away from them. If you know that they happen to be, you're residing in that tree, and then you get a feel, uh-oh, the evil demon's about to get me, so run away, because they cannot run after you, because they're blind. And in fact, once it happened that a young Talmud Chacham went to go and relieve himself in the Beit Perchi, and then he started hearing a rustling in the woods. He looks around, there's nobody here. Uh-oh, it must be those evil demons. The Gozila, and he ran for the hills. Ki Ozla, when that Mazik came, the Mazik didn't know where he or she was walking, because unfortunately they're blind. Chabli Ladikla, instead of chapping on this Talmud Chochem to go and strangle him or whatever, they chapped on a dekel tree. Tzobach Dikla, the dekel now shriveled. Upokahi, and that evil demon went and Paka exploded. We had the same expression yesterday, if you remember. We had the person that was fleeing from his former wife, and he had drunk too much, and then he chapped on a dikla, and the dekel shriveled. In other words, it dried out, and then and the person exploded. Right. And here we're talking about the shindal that exploded, not the person. Okay, says Gemara. We said now a moment ago that parcha de beizirdisa, those that live among the sorb trees, shidi, they have the name shidi. So Gemara hazirdisa the smicha lemasa. If you have such a sorb tree which is close to the town, close to the community, like pachsa mishitin shidi, you should know it's occupied by a large, large group of these evil demons. Not just one or two; you can have 60 of them, a very large number. Again, to go right at kmeya. And Gemara tells us a real life story. Ahu bar kasha de masa. Akasha de masa says Rishbam down below is a security guard who is securing the city, shoiter ho'ir, and he was nervous about these mazikim. After all, he has to go and guard the community by day and by night, and then sometimes these mazikim come along. The ozel v'koi gabi zardisa. So he went and he had his lodging. He stayed by this sorb tree. That was some klamasa, which was close to the town. Olu bei shita shidi, and there were taka 60 such evil demons occupying that tree. Vistakin, unfortunately, he got into sakana. And he figured, I don't want this to happen again. As Osel Hu Rebbe, he went to one of the Talmid Chacham, to the Yoda, who did not learn this Gemara, and did not know the Zardis of the Shitin Shidihi, that the Zardis is typically the home for 60 of these Shadim, of these evil demons. It's Kosel Kameya the Chodeshida. So he wrote in the amulet, in the Kameya, he said, a Tvalu or a Pasik, whatever, against just one of these evil demons. Shama, subsequently he heard the Tolu Chinga Begave, that they were making a ganza chinga in that tree. What's a chinga? Is a machloikis, where the chinga means that they were playing musical instruments, or means that they were having like a chasana, they were dancing around inside that tree. The Komashru Hochi, and they were singing. They were not singing Simon Toiv or Mazel Toiv, but rather they were singing Sudra Damar, Sudra, a Sudra. In the Gemara Lashon means like a shawl or large scarf that they used to go and cover their heads. In other words, like wearing a hat or a cap or a yarmulke, that was a sudr. So they said, sudr demar ki tzur merabanan. It looks like that of a Talmud Chacham. In other words, he has a choshiva yarmulke. B'dikna bei b'mar. However, we inspected, we checked him out, and we found out that this individual who has the appearance of a Tzumer Rabbanan, he wears the rabbinical frock or whatever. However, the Liyod Baruch, he doesn't even know how to make a bracha. Which bracha does he not know how to make? Says Rashi, Baruch Oyte Yisrael B'Sefara. The bracha that we make towards the end of the brachas every morning, Oyte Yisrael B'Sefara, literally means to go and put on a hat on your crown. Oh, thank you, on your head, with Tefara, with its Teferis, with its glory, with its honor. But here it's talking about the yarmulke. So he's wearing this beautiful ator of this beautiful sudur on his head, like a tzur merabanan, a rabbinical hat, whatever. He doesn't even know how to make a brach on it. So they were making fun of this fellow that he wrote an incorrect kameya, that he wrote in the kameya only against one evil demon as opposed to 60. Also, who made Rabbanan the Yada desire to say Sheet and Shidi? He, however, knew. Have a cost of Le Kameya. Now he wrote a new Kameya, the Sheet and Shidi. Ha ha, Shama de Ka'amru. As soon as the person started wearing this new amulet, the new Kameya, he heard a rustle in the trees. Panam and Eichemia, Chashnel, everybody pack your bags and let's get out of here. It's dangerous. This Kameya is going around and it's against the Shikhti Shida. They all ran for the hills. But Sazimar Ketam Mariri. Trei katvi have chad mekamet tihara v'chad lav mipasat tihara. The mekamet tihara ketav mariri shmoi umechsi etc. And the one in the afternoon is called ketav yoshet zorai. Now, what does Yomar mean? Ketav is the name of an evil demon, and we have the ketav mariri in Parshas Hazino towards the end of the Torah, right before the Vayikra bracha, where it says in the pasuk ketav mariri. Let's see if we can find it. Be embarrassing if we can.
32:24.
Oh! See, Ed is here and he's helping us out. Which number? 32?
32:24.
32:24. Okay, it's in Hazino, and the pasuk reads, "Mezeira of ulechume reshef veketev meriri v'shem behemes hashalach bam im chamas zoicheli offer." What a mezeira of ulechume reshef veketev meriri. So Rishbam, but not Rashi. Rishbam, Rashi in Chumash says that all of them are the names of Shadim, names of these evil demons. So this Keter Mariri is the name of a Chet, of an evil demon. At the same time, sorry, if you go and, I'll give it back to you in a moment, in the Yoshua Seisra Elyon, that we say on Shabbos morning, and we say on Matzah Shabbos, what do we say in Yoshua Seisra? Well, the beginning of Yoshua Seisra, yeah. Loisira mipachad loyla, mechetz yof yoimam, mideber bo'oifel yahaloich, miketev yoshud zoharayim. Oh, so we have another ketev. Here in Hazina we have the ketev Mariri, and here we have the ketev yoshud zoharayim. So we're going to see in the Gemara that they're really one and the same. One is in the morning and one is in the afternoon. Zog the Gemara, ketev Mariri, trei kitvi habi, the two of them. Chan mikamatira, one in the morning. Mikamatira means like zoharayim, that means noontime, so one before noon, v'chadmi bosa tiara, one after noon. Demekami tiara, the one in the morning, ketamiriri shmat, the name is ketamiriri. Umechse, and what does it look like? Beikado de kumcha v'hodr bei bachsha. So it looks like if you take a kad, kad means a fas is a barrel, kamcha is like kutach. Kutach we have from time to time in Chazal. Kutach was a dairy dip, just like everybody has these dips on Friday night after they eat the fish or with the fish. They have the hummus and the tchina and who knows what. So then, in the good old days, they had a dip called the kutach dip. And that kutach dip was milchiks. Yeah, it was milchiks. Yeah, I'm not recommending eating it Friday night, especially if you're going to have flesh after that. But I'm just saying, that's what type of, it's a dip, which was made of milchiks. And it was also chometz. If you remember, we had earlier on in our Masechta, according to one man, the Yomar, don't sell kutach to a goy within 30 days before Pesach, because he might still have that dip left when Pesach arrives, so only earlier than 30 days. Anyway, so the bottom line is, Beikada de kumcha, v'hoda be'bachsha. Bachsha means a stirring spoon. So this Ketz Mariri looks like such a stirring spoon in such a dip, or a large barrel of this kutach dip. That's what the Ketz Mariri looks like. The Basar Tiara, the one from the afternoon, that's called the Ketu Yoshu Tzarai, Shemai. That's the one from the Yoshu Beseser. Umechsi Beikarna De'iza, you can find it, or it appears to be like the horns of an ace of a goat. V'hodr Be Knafia. And it also drezach, it's also twirling around like a nafia, like a sieve, S-I-E-V-E, a sieve like you use to filter and sift things. And by Yamashakali also, the Ozura Papi Mimine, Rafuna Bereda Yeshua Mismale. These three giants are all walking together. Abai was walking in the middle. Rapapa was walking to his right. Avun Rav Shua was walking to his left. Chazalu Ketamariri. Unfortunately, they came across one of these Ketamariris in the morning, obviously. To Kaasi Le'ape, the Smole. He was going on the other side of the street, approaching them on the left of Abaye. Now remember, on Abaye's left with Avuna Bered of Yeshua, so Abaye quickly made a switch. Ahadra the Rapapa Lismali, he put Rapapa on the left side, the Avuna Bered of Yeshua and Lemina on the right side. Obviously, Avuna Bered of Yeshua was very happy because now he avoids direct contact with his Ketamariri. Rapapa, as you can well imagine, was a little upset.
What are you doing to me?
Omli Rapapa, what are you doing to me? Why are you only concerned about Ravuna? What about me? You're not worried about me. Omli Abaye at Shata Kaimislach. You, Baruch Hashem, are now Matzliach. In other words, your mazel at this time is a very good mazel. Whatever you're doing, Baruch Hashem Yatzliach. As we know, Rapapa became a beer brewer and as a result became a very wealthy individual. So you're a great Talmud Chacham. You're a very wealthy person, Baruch Hashem. You're Matzliach and everything you do. So you will have a special segula. I'm not worried that the mazik is going to start up with you, but Rav Huna Brev Yeshua doesn't have that shom kemeslach, so I was nervous about him. Says Yimur Vayit, Michad B'Tamiz, from the first day of Tamiz, ad Shitza B'Tamiz, to the 16th of Tamiz, Vaday Shchichi. Then you have a lot of these shindalans, a lot of these evil demons flying around. So be careful. Mekan V'Eilach, Sofi Shchichi, Sofi Shchichi, Efshio, Efshinish. Umishtakchi, where you can find them is Betulei D'Chatzva. What's a chatzva? So a chatzva we've had elsewhere. Usually more refers to it as chatzuva. Chatzuva is a something that you plant in the ground, like a tree, or maybe it is a tree. But it's very, very special that its roots go directly down. They don't spread to the right and not to the left. And that's why the Gemara elsewhere tells us that Yeshua ben Nun, when he was splitting up Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, he went and put on the tchum, on the border, between each one of the Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael, he planted these chatzuva trees. Why? Because they would not interfere with the growth on the right or on the left, because the roots go directly down, they don't spread to the right and to the left. Now, says the Gemara, Mishtak, you find these mazikim where, but this chatzuva tree, to the chotzav garmida, where it has not grown an amma. In other words, once it grows more than amma, then you don't have to worry. Ubetuli, or you find it in the shadow, the shade of the tzafra upanya, to lo yihave garmida, in the morning or in the afternoon or the evening, to lo yihave garmida, where the tuli, where the shadow, is not an amma. The word garmida means an amma. So it means if it's a short shadow, you don't have to worry. If it's a long shadow, and the times of the day, as you know, depending where the sun is, it beats down, etc., makes a longer shadow, smaller shadow. So if it's a small shadow, then you got to worry. But if it's a large shadow, you don't have to worry. The Iker Betuli, the Beis Kisei, the main place where they like to hide out is in the Bati Kisois, meaning in the outhouses. We don't mean a Beis Kisei today in the private homes, which are all marbleized and have this fine smelling perfume all over.
Walter Brown soaps.
Yeah, exactly. That you don't have to worry. But the old Beis Kisei, that unfortunately that was a big, big danger, and you have to be very careful. Nimari, remember, has stories about Abaye and Verovo when they went to the Beis Kisei, that they had to worry about the Mazikim. Okay. Omer of Yosef. Hani Tlas Mili Yohiv Arvuna Linahoira. And the Hoira means a person who has vision. Arvuna means blindness. The following three chas v'shalom could cause a person with vision to never go blind. Man desarek reishe yovesh, a person who goes and combs or he brushes his hair when it's yovesh, when it's dry. Man deshasi tip tip, and a person who drinks from a barrel, drip by drip. You have a barrel which is dripping and you drink from that drip. Man desai mesani ad maisene kara. When a person who goes and puts his shoes on when his feet are still wet, when he hasn't dried them off sufficiently. Teloi bebeisa, if a person has in his home a basket which is hanging from a hook, and in that basket there is food, and as we'll see in a moment, especially if there's bread, koshli aniyusa, that's bad for chas v'shalom, for anius. In other words, it's a bad omen that the person is going to become chas v'shalom impoverished. Ki amri imchi, like people have a sprichvort, they have an expression, tola siltza, if you have a basket which is hanging from the ceiling, from the wall, tola mezoine, just like that basket is suspended, his mezoines, chas v'shalom, will be suspended. V'lo yamon el rifta,
bro. Yes, Dr. Naismith was a poor man.
Sorry?
Dr. Naismith was a poor man.
Dr. Naismith?
Naismith.
You never heard of him.
It's a basketball start. Two baskets hanging up.
Ah, okay. Good.
There wasn't food inside.
There wasn't food?
Yes. That's the continuation. He knew the Gemara. V'lei Omar and El Rifta. That's only if the basket which was suspended had in it bread. Even if you have meat or you have fish, it's suspended in such a basket. That's not a problem because orchei hi, that's the normal orich. Of course, you're saying to yourself, who goes and hangs meat and fish? But many of you may remember, even in the good old days, that and you went to one of these bossa stores
salami.
Where you passed by. Yeah, you have these heavy salamis, dry salami that were hanging from the ceiling. And I remember when I was in the Ukraine many years ago with my wife, when we were traveling, also you had on the line, instead of seeing clothing on the line, there were fish that were hanging from the line, and they were hanging there for days and weeks. And you could eat them because they were very heavily salted, and therefore that preserved them. So that was the custom to go and hang meat and fish. But nobody hangs bread. You don't suspend bread. If you suspend bread, the chas v'shalom is kosher le'aniyusa. That's okay. Okay. Pari bebeisa kosher le'aniyusa. Pari is referring to, says Rishbam, Morsan is bran. Nowadays, bran is considered to be very nutritious and very healthy, but in the good old days, it was considered to be a byproduct of the bread and of the soles that people would throw out. In other words, you went and sifted all of your wheat and all of your flour, and you had the bran, and you would toss that. So if you had pari bebeisa, koshla aniyusa, that was a bad omen, chas v'shalom, for anius, for poverty. Neshoira bebeisa, vusais neshoira, says Rishbam, Pihurin Sholpas, a person who has a lot of breadcrumbs hanging around, like on the floor and stuff like that, that is not good. Kashli Aniusa, that is not good. We had yesterday that Chas V'Shalom, this kishuf on it, that the Mechashvim go and put in a bad spell on these crumbs. Mm-hmm. But here it's talking about that if you have breadcrumbs on the floor, particularly if people are walking on it, they're being Mavaza the Ochlin. Chas V'Shalom, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're Mavaza my food. Chas V'Shalom, that could lead to poverty. Especially on Tuesday nights and Friday nights, that's when the mazikim really are shora, they live on those pirurin, on those breadcrumbs, and therefore that's really a special time. Be careful. Any crumbs, quickly sweep them away, put them away. Put them in the garbage. Eat them. Do whatever you want, but don't have them on the ground. Isra de mezoini. Isra means that malach upstairs in Shemayim, that is in charge of mezoinis, in charge of food, nakid shemay. Its name is nakid. Now what type of name is that? Says Rashi, the word nakid comes from the word naki, and it will only go and give mezoinis to those families that are clean. If the families are full of dirt, toynish. See, look at two Rashi's from the bottom, two lines at the bottom. Nakid shemay, losh and nekiyos. The word nakid comes from naki, from clean. Fichach ena roitzu pirur nishlach lenetun beregel. He doesn't like it. What are you doing? You have breadcrumbs. People are stepping on it. He gets so upset. So therefore, that's why that malach chas v'shalom can go and bring anius. Isra d'aniusa, the malach that is in charge of anius of poverty, novel shemay. Its name is novel, and therefore he's very upset. Rashi Rishbam says novel shemay losh and lichluch. To a novel, Nevala Asa Yisrael means Bizoyan novel. Shema Nichlas Labai Shehuroya She'en Lehagin Minig Nikoyim Bepas. If there's Chas V'Sholem, there's not cleanliness when it comes to food, especially in bread. Chas V'Sholem, it brings Chas V'Sholem on years. Right. Tzo'a Apumet Chatzva. If you take a tzo'a is a plate. And if you have an open barrel, instead of putting the lid on it, the cover on it, if you cover it with a plate, Koshla Niyus, so that's no good. A person who goes and drinks water from a plate. Not that you drink water from a cup, you don't drink it from a plate. If you drink it from a plate, koshile bruxi, that can bring on bruxi. Rashi says bruxi is kilian enayim. Chas v'shalom, that could bring on blindness. Chalila. The ochel tachli. Tachli is cress. Cress is some sort of grass. They probably give it a fancy chasanas at the beginning. V'loi mashi yode, and he doesn't wash his hands. Mafchid plasin yoimen. Then he gets a pacha that. Pacha is like an anxiety. For the next 30 days, he doesn't know what's going on. And the Gemara now goes through a list of those types of items that you should always wash your hands. And if you don't, Chas V'Sholom, that you have some sort of pacha that chaps on the person. So the mesukar means a person who just was makiz dam. He let out blood by one of these professional blood letters. You don't wash your hands. Mafchit shivi yom, a whole 7 days, he's kind of shaking and he's trembling. The shokel mazi, a person who takes a haircut. He doesn't wash his hands. Mafchit tlosi yom, a 3 day period. The shokel tufi, a person who cuts his nails. He doesn't wash his hands. Mafchit chad yom, 1 day. In all of these cases, he doesn't know. He's anxious. He's nervous. What is he nervous about? I don't know why I'm nervous. I just know that for the last 3 days, I'm nervous. Oh, because you didn't wash your hands. Yoda a usia dargala pachta. Usia means a mustache. Person who puts his hands or fingers frequently under his nose and top of his mustache. Dargala pachta, that chas v'shalom can lead to this type of pacha, to this type of anxiousness, anxiety, doesn't know. Yoda pusa, if he puts his hands on the bottom, like on his chin. Dargala shinta, no, I'm sorry. Pusa means his metzach, it means his forehead. If he puts his hands on his forehead, dargala shinta, that chas v'shalom can lead to shina. Now there's another girsa, I think, of the Oruch or someone else that switches it around. And he says that if you put your hand on an usya, on your mustache, that means that you already had anxiety and you're kind of holding up your head. Well, if you're putting your hands on your forehead, that means that you are falling asleep, but you already fell asleep, and that's why you're holding it, trying to hold yourself up. That, of course, we are all familiar with, at least I'm familiar with, that when you start getting very sleepy, you put your hand on your forehead, etc., etc. Okay. Tana, another two lines until we get to Tana Rabbanan. Tana, oichlun mashkin tachas amita, don't leave food or drink under your bed. Even if they happen to be in a safe made out of barzel, made out of metal. Ruach Ruah Sharalein Chas V'Sholom is a Ruach Ruah that resides on the food items or the drinks under a bed, so don't use that as your storage space for food or for drink. And we'll stop over here, Rabbi Zayin. Have a wonderful Shabbos and Agin Chodesh. Remember that Sunday morning is Rosh Chodesh, and therefore I'm not going to be here, Rabbi Zayin. And to allow everyone to get home in time from Hallel and from Rosh Chodesh, Mechem will start on 8:30 Sunday morning by Zoom. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a Friday Chalechting Shabbos, and a Gittin Chodesh. By the way, the 8:30 is on the new Zeiger, on the new clock. Don't forget to change the clock on Matzah Shabbos.